Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and on this edition of the Strang Report podcast, I have the privilege of interviewing Kenneth Copeland. As I say in the interview, Kenneth Copeland has influenced me a great deal. I've written about this. I've interviewed him before on podcast, and we talked about the Holy Spirit and hearing the Holy Spirit's voice. We did not literally talk about my new book, although we did mention it a couple times, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World. As you'll hear in our conversation, he's in the book. I pulled things from interviews I've done with him in the past, some of the things that he has written. And he also gave me a very nice endorsement. We put it in the book. At the end of the interview, I'll come back with a few more comments, but I don't want to take away from our conversation. It's powerful. It's a little longer than normal, but it's worth listening to. And at the end, he prays a powerful prayer you don't want to miss. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. The Strang Report aims to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to you, Brother Kenneth Copeland.
Thank you,
I have
Steve.
So much respect for you. I'm just so honored that you would be on my podcast today.
Oh, I appreciate that, sir. Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Well, thank you. We're not really here to talk about my new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, but I will say that you've got a pretty prominent part in the book, mainly because you have influenced me so much over the years. And also, I pull some materials or, you know, quotes from this Kenneth Copeland Word of Faith Study Bible.
Yes, praise God.
So, I write a lot about Romans chapter 8, which, you know, some people call that chapter Life in the Spirit. And your commentary was so good, I was able to pick up some things. But mainly, praise I just God. Want to talk about
In
the
fact,
Holy
that's
Spirit.
Where that's where I opened my Bible, was right here in the 8th chapter of Romans. Yeah.
Well, you know, I actually reread that chapter this morning. Of course, I knew I was going to be talking to you today, but I've just been living there lately because it's such an important part of the Christian life. And it's a part that a lot of people, even, you know, people we would call Spirit-led, Charismatics, Pentecostals, people that should know better, you know, after a while, it's kind of like a been there, done that. And it seems to me that a lot of people are almost like discouraged with everything that's going on in the world. But yet, at times like this, we need to be Spirit-led even more.
Yes, we do. Well, the key, as you know, is this book is a living book. It is a book of blood covenants, the most serious agreements known to the humankind. And so every word of it is alive. But I know from my own life, Steve, I had to learn to listen. I had to learn to listen here instead of here. And learn that this is where the voice of the Spirit is. And any born-again child of God is there. This is where he lives. His Spirit within us. So, right here, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and so forth and so on. And then it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The 17th verse, and children then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. But it doesn't mean anything if you can't hear his voice. So, I call it practicing the presence of God, because you haven't prayed until you listen. So if you start, if you find the answer to your prayer in this covenant book, then you pray that. But then there are times you need to hear from God. And his voice is here. So it's necessary Stephen, I don't choose the clothes that I wear. I pray, and I say, Lord, well, that's what I did today, because I had on something, I had one of the victory shirts on for television, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to wear on the podcast? And I stood there in my closet, and I pointed to a couple of things, and yes, sir, no, sir. And when I walked up there, I heard the word of the Lord come on the inside of me, and he said, I want you to wear the red, white, and blue. Well, what does that do for me? That shows my dedication to the nation, this nation. Stephen, this is the only nation. Our first president, George Washington, opened his Bible to the 17th chapter of Genesis and entered covenant with God. Our first president, number one, and he prayed prayers out of the Bible. Then he went to the book of Exodus and he said, you will be our God, and we will be your people. I carry his prayers. I carry it in this book with me all the time, because we need to remember that this nation is in covenant with God. And the first president, first covenant is extremely important. But now he had to hear that. He had to hear that in his spirit and come to the direction, and he got it out of his own Bible.
And that is a blessing that our country was founded.
Yes.
There are so few people who even know or remember that.
Yes.
And the way the nation is going, you know, we could talk about this for hours and never answer the question, but yeah. What do you think has happened? I refer to that as the upside down world. It just seems that what used to be called good is called evil. What yes. used to be evil is called good. And, but yet within this, we've got to be led by the Spirit.
That's right.
In some ways more than ever. And when we look at history, the time that Paul wrote these words, things were even worse in a lot of ways. At least they're not feeding Christians to lions or dipping their bodies in wax and using them as torches like they did in ancient Rome. Yet Christians had, in that case, had to be led by the Spirit of God. And actually, it was Christianity that replaced the evil Roman Empire. What do you think is happening now? You know, I address this in the book. Part of it is for us Christians just to be able to hear from God, like you're talking about, but also to be able to stand strong against this evil that we see all around us.
Well, that's the reason I brought that up. Our first president was led of the Spirit. He had to hear that from God. And he got it by spending time in his Bible. So to hear from God and be able to hear in the Spirit, then this didn't come easy to me at first, but you have to spend time listening and listening and listening. And as you know, Stephen, I've flown airplanes for many, many years. Well, you have a tail number. Your number on the tail of that airplane. And there you hear all the air traffic control is talking to different people all the time. And actually, I hear that, but the moment he comes up with my number, I hear that, that's me he's talking to. I had to learn how to do that by practice and 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 listen and listen and listen and listen to the Spirit of God, and then get outstanding books about it. In my opinion, and for the last 56 years, what I have noticed, the problem comes from what pastors are teaching and what they are not taking any time to preach. I learned the basics of listening to my spirit from Kenneth Hagin. And he taught about that. And he talked about it. He called it spiritology, where you listen to your spirit. That inward witness. Oh. And the people of the country and the body of Christ need to just take just time out and listen to the Lord. Because I have a little understanding about what covenant means from this book and all the covenants of God and the blood of animals, then the blood of man through circumcision, then the sinless blood of Jesus in the new or the second covenant.
You know, it's interesting you had mentioned Brother Hagin. He's been gone now. I think he passed on in the early 2000s.
Yeah,
he had such an influence. But I have a whole section in the book in which he talks about this.
Yes.
And in fact, I went back on YouTube and found some teaching. They must have been on the radio. It sounded like it was 1950s based on what he was talking about and how he said you had to know in your spirit. You had to just know.
That's right.
And to listen to God. And I thought was so important. And I remember making the comment that a lot of people consider him the father of the modern faith movement. And he is.
Yes,
but I really think that his understanding about the Holy Spirit and hearing the Holy Spirit is actually one of his great legacies. And I remember I went to his 4-hour-long funeral service.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. They asked different people who had been influenced by him to stand up. And I think they were probably referring to Ray McGrath's and people like that. But, you know, when they did that, I stood
Everybody stood up.
Because he had, you know, even though I never went to Rhema Bible College, I was so influenced by him and his example in so many ways. But, you know, theoretically, all Christians should be able to say what you've been saying.
Yes, they
but
should.
What I observe as a journalist over the years is even Christians who know better after a while get tired, or it's the cares of the world, or Satan comes in and discourages them. And the next thing you know, they're not going to church. Unfortunately, some are even becoming woke. It's sad. You know, people go along to get along. And a lot of pastors do this. They water things down because it helps the crowd, they think. But, you know, you're not a spirit-led Christian just because you go to church any more than you're an automobile if you go into a garage. You know, I mean.
And going to church is not serving God.
Absolutely.
Now, the pastor is serving God. But the congregation is supposed to be there in prayer supporting the pastor. And the pastor is feeding the flock. So going to church is not serving God. It's what you do outside church as a believer. And Jesus, that the last thing he said in the book of Mark, is all of you, the believer. These signs, or his signature is, the believer will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues, eat any deadly thing, drink any deadly thing, you won't hurt them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So he literally set the church against sickness and disease by saying that.
And then he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to do that. And that's when the church started on the day of Pentecost, which is we'll celebrate it in barely 10 years from now, the 2000th anniversary of founding of the church when the Holy Spirit came.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
And I believe that we've got to get back to that. Now, that is true of every generation, but it seems more so now. And it affects every other part of our life, not just our theology. It should affect our whether we have the faith to pray for the sick and actually see them recover. And you're also very well known for faith, and I wanted to be sure to get around to this. But I remember the first time I interviewed you in 1979. I don't know if you remember or not.
I do.
I wrote an article that said you were a young 42-year-old evangelist and you were already having large crowds and you were on radio at the time praying about going on television. And you said something I'll never forget. You said that faith was like a tool. Mm-hmm. It was like a hammer. If you needed a tool like a hammer, that you could use your faith. And that was something that I'd never heard before, even though I grew up in a Pentecostal church. And I remember, and I didn't think of it till just now when you talked about choosing your wardrobe, but you said that you woke up by faith. And I actually said to you, you mean you don't set an alarm? And you said, no.
I haven't used an alarm clock in probably, Stephen, I don't know, 35, 40 years.
Wow.
But before I go to bed at night, I have a time that I'm obligated to do or somewhere to be. As of when I go to bed, I say, Lord, with your help, I will wake up like this morning. I said, Lord, with your help, I'll wake up at 7 o'clock like I usually do, but I specifically wake up at 7. I have some things to do here. And then I work out a lot. And I'll say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'll be on that treadmill at 7:30. I will be there. And I wake up then in order to be there.
I've never been
late. One time. I got this close. But I've never been late. Well, since I've done that, and of course I have my clock there next to my bed, but I don't really, my clock is an iPhone plugged in with a clock on it, but I never set an alarm.
Well, talk to me about using faith, because I have been inspired, but I have to be real honest. I tend to use it when I really need to, like there's a real problem. And I'll really try to believe God. But the way you talk, you know, in fact, you're inspiring me that every single day, you know, tomorrow I'm going to have to wake up with an alarm clock. But I think people are interested in this. How do we use faith? We know that without faith, it's impossible to please God.
That's right.
We know that it's one of the gifts of the Spirit. We know that we have to walk in faith, but how do you use faith?
It is a spiritual force, and it's the creative force of God, and it is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen or not revealed to the senses. The Classic Amplified said, it is the title deed to the things we do not see and the things that we hope for that are not revealed to the five physical senses. And we know from the 10th chapter of the book of Romans that faith comes. Faith comes. It doesn't. You don't feel it, but you feel the results of it. But faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. And faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. So it's meditating in this book and preaching it back to yourself, or back in the old days when we had the tapes, and I have a treasure trove full of them, but still, you go to the CDs and you listen and you listen. Of course, I have an iPhone full of Brother Hagin, and I plug in. I put my headset on and plug in and listen to him, and listen to him and listen to him, and feed my faith so that I use it every day. I use it to get up, and the first thing I do when I get up, I say, glory to God, this is my receiving day, because I start the day knowing that I have what I say. And the Master said that in the 11th chapter of the book of Mark, that we have what we say. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then he put that into action himself, and he said, and I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, because faith will not work in an unforgiving heart or unforgiving situation. You get over into that, you get into strife, yeah.
Right. You know, I'm going to change the direction of the conversation, because there's something I want to learn that I've actually been studying. You know, lately, there seems to be an emphasis more recently on the whole aspect of deliverance. You know, there was this movie, Out in Jesus' Name, that caused quite a stir in the last month or so. And I have a whole chapter in the book on deliverance. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to believers, it isn't deliverance from demons as much as deliverance from strongholds. And aren't there strongholds, even strongholds of unbelief or doubt or insecurity or intimidation that comes in a believer's life? How do we work through this? This is something I've been studying lately, even asking myself, where have I let strongholds hold me back? How do we trust the Holy Spirit? How do we use our faith to overcome strongholds of various kinds that have developed, some of them going on back almost to childhood?
Well, yeah, that's right. And, of course, that's in the book. In the 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. And that's dunamis, explosive power, through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, that doesn't mean that all strongholds are wrong. I have a stronghold of faith. I've learned that over all this 56 years to build that stronghold. But now here it is. Casting down imaginations or reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, or what you know about God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Anointed One, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, what, of thought, where your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he's Christ, let him himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. So this is a mental thing. We also must renew the mind. So how do you do that? Jesus said, why take ye thought saying? Why take ye thought saying? So you take these thoughts and you say them. You renew your mind to the obedience of His anointing. Now, there are times I really have to watch it. I have to talk back to the television because I get just really grates on me, things politicians do and say. And I was feeling like that. Now, Lyndon Johnson, of course, he came from the state of Texas, but I disagreed with his politics 100%. And, but of course, then 1 Timothy chapter 2 says to pray for those that are in authority. And I was just griping around about him. And there rose up on the inside of me, the Lord said, do you know him? I said, no, sir. He said, do you know anyone that knows him? I said, no, sir. He said, sounds to me like you don't know much. I said, yes, sir, that's right. He said, why are you not praying for him? Okay. So I began to pray for him. I pray for Mr. Biden. He is president of the United States. I pray for him. I am obligated to do so. I'm not obligated to agree with his politics. But when it's somebody you don't disagree with, that's the one you need to be praying for. And then I came into a hotel one night. I was on the road preaching, and I was by myself. Gloria wasn't with me. And I came in, and I left the television on. And I came in, and oh, let's see. Yeah, I walked in the bathroom there, started taking my tie and everything on, and I heard his voice. Stephen, the love of God drove up on the inside of me, and I began to love that man. I began to pray for him. I pray for Mr. Biden that the Lord open the eyes of his understanding, that he be filled with the light of God and spirit, soul, and body, and to learn how to pray. This is the reason why it is so big to pray in tongues, because I can get away from my own understanding and begin to pray for him in the spirit and say, Lord, you know what he needs, and you know the ins and the outs, so put the prayer in my heart. And just move over there in the spirit and believe and have faith in those words, because it's all described in the Book of Covenants. And it's amazing how it changed me instead of President Johnson. It changed me when I prayed for him in faith. It changed me when I prayed for Joe Biden. It changes me when I prayed for George Bush. It changed me when I prayed for Bush Sr. It changed me. And it helped my spirit being to be calm and peace and not get into strife, because the scripture says where there's strife, there is confusion and every evil work.
Boy, that's so good. And I wish we could talk longer. I have my eye on the clock, and we need to wrap this up. And I would like to ask you if you would pray for the viewer. Yes. And also, let's pray together for President Joe Biden.
Oh,
I think
yes.
that's a very important thing. And then we'll close this segment at the close of your prayer. I thank you again for taking time.
I look at him and the grief and the sorrow that the man has been through, the deaths that have been in his own personal life and family, and the heartache, and people don't think about that side of it. He's finally in the office that he's dreamed of all these years, and it's folding up around him. And you know it's bound to hurt. And nobody should hurt in their heart like that. And I'm going to turn over there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and give you honor and glory. Father, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have been exhorted, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for the president and the vice president and the Congress and all the members of the political members of this nation, governors and mayors of cities. We pray for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth, that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. This ministry, Stephen Strang, fabulous ministry. We are all part of this testimony. Lord Jesus, you said when you were on the earth, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations as a witness, and then the end shall come. And it's finally coming to pass through satellite and all of the things that have been put into our hands with which to win this world. We give you praise for that. I pray for Charisma Magazine. I pray for Stephen and his family. I pray for the outreach of his ministries as a journalism, a spirit-filled, mighty man of God that's taking it to the world through print, and all of the other avenues that you've put into his hands and into his life and into his spirit. Spirit, soul, I remember what you said. They came up to you testing you. They said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of all?" You said, "The greatest commandment of all, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets," the love of God. We praise you and we thank you. Stephen, I thank you for this precious opportunity. And it's just a wonder just to call you my brother and my friend. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, Brother Copeland. That is such an honor. And thank you for taking time to be on the podcast and give the material in the book and really for influencing me since I was in my 20s. In a lot of ways, the direction of my life has been influenced by you over the years.
And I have to say, and I'd pass this on to anybody, this is a great book. Amen. I know. He sent me a copy of it. Not the copy of the book, but just about this thick in manuscript form. And it is everything he said it is and more. It has the Spirit of God in it and on it because of his dependence on this book. Because this book and what I read of his book, it just fits, just dovetails into the what I call the mighty 18. The gifts of the Spirit are manifestations of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Those two put together. Walk in those, anybody can be successful and prosperous.
I want to make a closing thought and thank you for staying this long. Boy, that was a powerful interview, and I so appreciated Brother Copeland's endorsement right at the end before he prayed. But I also wanted to just share an endorsement. It's so important to me personally that I put it on the very front page of the endorsements. He says, "Spirit-led living in an upside-down world is about the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It seems as though no one is writing books about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so it is very needed in this upside down world that is on a downward spiral of morality. This book needs to be read and studied with your Bible when you meditate on scriptures provided throughout the book. Stephen Strang does an excellent job of introducing you to the Holy Spirit and showing you how you can hear from Him and know Him intimately. I highly encourage you to read this book and to discover how the Spirit of the living God lives within true children of God in order to lead them to think, speak, and act according to the Word of God. Signed, Kenneth Copeland. And I so appreciate that. He was one of the very first people that I sent a manuscript to. And I hope you will want to read the book. It comes out May 16th. Of course, this podcast will still be up long after that. But the books just came into our warehouse. I mean, literally, like within hours. And if you order it from us, direct from us, at mycharismashop.com, we will go ahead and send it to you. You can either go to stevestrangbooks.com or to mycharismashop.com and order the book now. You can also order it on Amazon and a lot of the other online stores. It will be in Barnes & Noble and all those kinds of stores and released right around May 16th. That's right before Pentecost Sunday. I believe that this is the most important book I have ever written. I am doing everything I can to get the word out. There's some very positive early indicators that it's really touching people in a deep way, and I believe it'll touch you, but don't take my word for it. Read it for yourself. Go on mycharismashop.com and order it. Also, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Subscribe to my podcast on whatever platform you may be listening, and tune in again for another episode of The Strang Report. I'm going to start doing them more frequently, maybe even every single day leading up to the book release. I have so many interviews. I'll be interviewing people that I talk about in the book, like Kenneth Copeland. But also, I've recorded some videos on each chapter, and I'll be sharing them as podcasts as well. So thank you for being a loyal listener and viewer, and thank you for helping me to get the word out. I need people that read the book and are touched by it and believe it's important and that it helps them to understand the Holy Spirit in a new way to share this with their friends. Thank you for watching and listening. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on YouTube and Rumble, as well as your favorite podcast app at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing to the newsletter at strangreport.com. In an upside-down world, there is only one way to stay grounded. Life is full of twists and turns, successes and setbacks. How can you reach your God-given potential and achieve your dreams? With over four decades of reporting on the move of the Holy Spirit around the world, Stephen E. Strang has firsthand experience of how the Holy Spirit has led him on a remarkable journey of faith and a successful life. In his new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, he will invest his true life lessons into the hearts of readers as he reveals his secrets to having a successful life led by the Holy Spirit. Go to booksbystevestrang.com to pre-order your copy today.